wonderful being able to come here all the time and be fed.
I really needed that. And it's been a blessing to me. And, a wonderful blessing to me. This is just, I'm probably going to talk about this, is my wife. She has become, I don't know, pastor likes to say the glory of the man is the woman. And he tells me this because I tell him, I say, my wife, she's just so nice to me. You know? She gives you little kisses. I love you. You're so sweet. And I'm like, I don't know who she's talking about. But, you know, but that's a blessing to this church. And my whole family is here. My son is here. My grandson is here. My son-in-laws are here, who are my sons. My daughters are here. My other grandbaby is here. Yeah? Just not out yet, right? Anyway, I'm just really glad to be here. And again, I have to tell you, it always amazes me when I say to the pastor, hey, can I speak for a few minutes? And he says, yep, go ahead. So he told you earlier, I have this habit to take my glasses on and off because I can't see up close. If I put them on, I can't see you. You're kind of like this. But he told you after the service last week, I went to him last week, I felt horrible, because earlier, a few days before that, I told him, I said, I think that God has laid something on my heart about my life that I should share with folks, in the hopes that it might edify or just be a blessing to you, to show you the faith that God is working inside of me in my life. And I procrastinated. And I'm so good at procrastinating that I can put up procrastinating until tomorrow. That's funny. Anyways, so I seriously dropped the ball and failed God last week. And it broke my heart, and it still breaks my heart. Because as soon as Pastor started speaking, it was apparent to me that I should have spoke first. Because what he talked about was exactly what the Lord had laid on my heart to share with you about myself. So what I want to share with you is in the nature of Acts 4:20. And Acts 4:20, you don't have to look this up. But Acts 4:20 says this: for we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. Yeah? And that's what I want to do with you. I want to share with you a few things that I've seen and heard that the Lord has given me through my prayer and devotions. And I want you to know I'm not a Bible scholar who spends hours every day. I don't have calluses on my knees from spending hours in prayer. Huh? The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. Yeah? If you will draw nigh with God, yeah. Every once in a while, I can rub elbows with Him. It's not a lot, and it's not for a long time. But when He does, He impresses on me that I need to come up here and share that with you folks. I don't know if you would call that a calling or just a moving, but it's something I have to do, and if I don't do it, I don't sleep. He will rob me of my sleep. I will rob myself of my sleep. So I want to share the verse with you, or rather two verses. Let me back up a moment. Since I've been saved, there's some things from my past that bother me. And they're always going to bother me. But one thing in particular bothers me a lot, and I will never share it with anybody. Only God and I will know about it, hopefully. But over the past few weeks, couple of months, Pastor Haynes talked about chastisement. And I always thought chastisement was just a whooping. Yeah, I never realized that chastisement was correction, guidance, discipline, and a whooping comes last. Yeah? So this thing that gets brought up to me in my mind, God has chastised me with this because a while back I did something stupid. I made a deal with God. I tried to bargain with God. Don't do it. Take my advice. Just don't do it. You're better off not to even try because you're most likely going to fail on your end. Yeah, if you think you can hold it up, man up, but I caution you, yeah, don't make a vow to God. It's better not to. The Bible says that. I don't know where it does, but I know it says it. Anyways, I made a vow with God. I said, God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. He did what he said, yeah, and he kept coming up in my mind, you're not doing what you said, yeah, and it was bothering me a lot, and what bothered me was I thought God is upset with me because I'm not doing what I said I would do, that I wasn't fulfilling my end of the bargain. And it's a couple of weeks now. One night in prayer, it came to me. God gave me, Ronnie, I'm not mad at you because you didn't do what you said. I'm mad at you, Stephen, he told me, because you lied to me. And you know what I did before I lied to God? I lied to myself.
Yep.
And I believed that lie. Yeah. So then I made another bargain with God. A little bit before that, I made another bargain with God. And I didn't learn my lesson. But this is how I learned my lesson. I said, God, I would rather you break my right elbow and make it useless and make me learn to be left-handed for me to have to go through with my end of the bargain. God hasn't done that. But I have had a pain in my elbow and my right elbow now. Huh? And I suspect I'm going to have it for the rest of my life. And it can be pretty bad, yeah? We're living in Bible times. I like to say that while I'm up here, yeah? Yeah? God is real. You're real to Him. And He's involved in every part of your life, even if you don't think He is. You're a lost person. He's involved in your life or you would not be here right now. Yeah? You're not here under your own accord. You might think you are. You've chosen to follow the calling, the drawing that God has given to you to bring you here, yes? But if it wasn't for Him, Randy, in one way or the other, you'd be somewhere else right now. So be thankful for that. I praise the Lord for everybody that's here. I very much praise God that I'm here. I very much praise God for the salvation that He's given to me. Yeah? It was His love. So with that said, let me read you these two verses from Jeremiah 31, 18 and 19. This is what it says. Jeremiah 31, 18 and 19. So I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. And this thing that bothers me is a reproach from my youth, yes? It will always bother me. But I found myself, what really made this hit hard on me was two things. One about a yoke, but the second thing that really hit me, and I'll back up to the first, was when I was laying in bed and God revealed to me why I was a liar, I actually hit myself in the leg. I did. God, damn, I can't believe I'm lying to you, God, you know? I really did physically hit myself in the leg. But something occurred to me when we were talking about chastisement and the yoke here. You as a saved person, or as a lost person, need to willingly submit yourself to the yoke of chastisement of God. God can attempt to chastise you from now until the grass of your life withers away. And unless you submit to it, there's no use in Him doing that. You must submit to chastisement of God. Pastor also talked about being on this side of the Jordan and going to the other side of the Jordan, yes? Chastisement can bring you across, you see. Because the chastisement guides. Isn't that what a yoke does? You put a yoke on a beast to make that beast useful. And as an unsaved person, you need the chastisement or the yoke of God to plow up that dirt of your heart. Yeah? You need to become useful to God. And in fact, you are willingly accepting the turning of the soil of your heart so that that seed can do something more than just blow away as you're driving home after church. And as a saved person, you need to submit to the chastisement of God, so that that yoke can be used to, not just for your benefit now, but for the benefit of everybody else, especially and first of all, the people in your church. We need to be a blessing and an edification to one another. Now, I wrestle with talking to you folks because I'm a prideful person. I have an ego, I like to be the center of attention sometimes. I like to tell jokes. I like to be important. So when I lay in bed and I wrestle with God, is this Ronnie Scolton? Wanting to get up here and be Ronnie Scolton in front of all y'all? Or Lord, is this something you would have me share? Yeah? And again, we find it out through submission. Yeah? If it is myself when I get up here and I fall down and fail, and it wasn't of God, I tried. I put myself in that position. And we need to do that for one another. Yeah? I want to tell you what procrastination is. A good definition of procrastination, of why people procrastinate. One reason people procrastinate is because they're afraid of failing at the task they need to complete. That's why I don't complete a lot of things that I start. I'm a great starter. If we're going to compare it to a chess game, I got a great opening. I have a fair middle game. I'm a poor finisher. I'm telling you, I'm a poor finisher. Ask my family. I might have 10 things started, 10 things halfway done, and nothing seems to get accomplished, then all of a sudden I'll get 10 things done at one time. It's not that I'm industrious and that I'm always working and plugging away at something. It's that finally all my procrastination finally catches up with itself, and every once in a while people see that, oh, Ronnie did this. No, you don't understand. No, that should have been done 6 months ago, and it just got it done. one of the ways that God is working faith in me is following his voice. Yeah? Pastor Hain, I think it was, who said that we need to come to church not just to hear the man behind the pulpit speaking. We need to hear what he says, but listen to what God is saying through him. So I'm trying to do that. Trying to keep my hands clean before I come to church. And for me, that is wrestling, that fighting the fleshly thoughts in my mind. I wrestle with that a lot. There is a war inside of me here. Yeah? And it wars against my spirit. It's a real thing. And as a saved person, it's become very apparent to me that there's a very real warfare. Yes. Another way, I'm not going to say it again. You keep your hands clean by submitting. Submit to the Holy Ghost. When he says to you, Jen, turn the soap opera off. I don't know if you watch soap operas or not, but turn it off. Turn it off. If I got in your car and you're going to take me down to the dollar store, would you have to turn the radio off real quick so I didn't hear what you were listening to? So come on, I'll think about it. If you had to, then you're not submitting to the Holy Ghost. Because you know you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't listen to these things. The things that you shouldn't want. Because as Acts 4:20 says, well, we know that Scripture has three different ways to apply it. Prophetically, historically, and spiritually. Historically, this is what the men said. For we cannot but speak of that of which we've seen and heard. Prophetically, I'm saying it right now. But spiritually, what you put in is what you're going to get out. You're watching garbage. You're listening to garbage. You're going to speak garbage. You're going to live like garbage. Yeah? Don't do that. Submit to the Holy Ghost. Even as a lost person, submit to the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful life it is, as Pastor says. When I sat and listened to him at the Tim Hortons here earlier this week, and he's talking about the Bible, my love for my pastor grew as he expounded to me the Bible. And as he just went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word of God, it brought tears to my eye. Yeah, that this book is so perfect and so real. I don't understand how we can have Baptist pastors, preachers, evangelists, laymen, whoever it is, stand up and want to correct this book. It's because they don't believe this book. I believe this book. Amen. Everything in there is true. Everything in there is for you. Everything in there will edify you. It may shame you, though. Yeah. Sometimes, I try to, you've heard it, skip this part. Skip this part about it shines too much light on me where I don't want it shown. And I think the reason that I do that, and it's probably the same reason you did that, and the result of that is that we get in the way of what God is trying to do. When we don't submit to God, and he is the way, yes, then we get in the way. We should be in the way, that is, be in Jesus Christ. But when we're doing things our own way, we go way back to the garden where the serpent said to Eve, ye shall be as gods. We get in the way, and we make ourselves our own gods. When we're on this side of the Jordan without the yoke chastisement, without submitting to that yoke, because you must submit to a yoke. You can break a yoke. A beast can break a yoke off themselves. The Bible talks about that, breaking a yoke, and how God can break bands. But the beast can actually bite and break that yoke and resist. What is that beast good for? When that beast stays on this side of Jordan, in those well-watered fields, and that lamb, it's just great grazing. What can they do? They can graze. They can fertilize, and they can make babies. That's all the beast is good for. What are you good for? If you're a saved person on your side of Jordan, what are you good for? What are you doing? Are you just grazing and fertilizing? Looking to live your own little life and make babies? All well and good with me. I'm happy and content the way things are. Think about this now. As a beast, God dries up the Jordan for you so you can walk across that Jordan, that riverbed, okay? It's rocky. It's slippery. It's going to be slimy. Even as dry ground, those rocks, even dry, they have moss on them, stuff that's grown on them, and it's going to be slippery footing. You want a yoke of guidance so that you can walk across her and know where your feet are going to go, because as a beast, you're foolish. You're a dumb beast. Those beasts aren't very smart. That's what a yoke does. It guides you. And then once you get across that Jordan, whether as a saved person, submitting to God in the way, or as a lost person, leaving the law and becoming saved. Once you get over there, continue to submit to that yoke so that God can make your life benefit and profitable. Not to you, but to Him. Mm-hmm. To God. In Matthew, Jesus Christ said, my yoke is light and easy. You will have a yoke. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You will wear the yoke of the world, or you will wear the yoke of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah? The world wants you to think that the yoke that you have on them isn't theirs. Oh, we don't put a yoke on you. You can live as you want. Have respect for yourself. Have self-esteem for yourself. Live for yourself. Satisfy you. Look out for number one. If it feels good, do it. There is no God. But that's not true. We know that's not true. That's a heavy yoke and a burden they put on you right there because you're living a lie. You can live a lie as a Christian too. You have to fight at it, but you can do it. I know it. And I tell you, when I started out, I lied to God. I lied to myself first. So you can do it. What does the yoke of Jesus Christ do? The yoke of Jesus Christ is ultimately to accomplish His will, which we can go back and see in Genesis 2. The will of God for man is what? What did God create Adam for? What did He say? To create God what? In His image. In His likeness. The yoke of Jesus Christ is there for you to be conformed to the image of God. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing better for you. The best thing that God can want for anybody is for us to be like Him. So I encourage you, do your best to be like God. Submit to the yoke of chastisement, which is correction and direction and discipline in your life. Yeah? And show your love for God. Yeah? Submit. That's all. I think you're listening.
Amen. Very good, Ronnie. Let's have a song.
Okay, page 129. 129, Arise, My Soul, Arise.